right, today, guys, we are going to go ahead and dive in. And today, this is what we are talking about. Do you know where your rights come from? Yesterday, we had an amazing message preached on the rights and privileges. And as yesterday, as Deb was preaching, it just hit me. And she got into it on part of it of where your rights come from. But do you know that you have rights? Do you know those rights belong to you? But furthermore, how do you have those rights? Today, we are going to be talking about, do you know that you have rights? Are those rights in manifestation? And if not, where are they at? And to do that, we just need to go. We're going to go ahead and go into prayer. And as we go into prayer, we're going to dive right in and get started today. Are y'all ready? Father, thank you for today. Father, give us eyes to hear. Excuse me, eyes to see, ears to hear. As we begin to move forward, give a spirit of knowledge, wisdom, and revelation so that we can have this not in our heads, not a head knowledge, but down in our spirit and let it become part of our being. We thank you that we have it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, I want you to first say this with me. I am an heir of God. That's one of the first confessions that you need to make. I am an heir. That means I have an inheritance. I am an heir of God. I am a son. I am a daughter of God. And because I'm an heir, I have an inheritance. I have rights. I have rights. I'm going to say that again. I have rights as an heir of God. Now, we as believers, we have rights regardless if we know that we have rights or not. We'll use this as an example, is that in America, there's more rights that people have than they really take advantage of. They're there, they're on paper, they're written out. It is for them to have, but a lot of times they have no idea where those that they have those rights. So those rights sit up on a shelf somewhere, and they never taken advantage of. They never have access to. And that's a problem with that, because we have all these rights that they're there for us, for our benefit. I'll show you in a little bit, actually for your profit. But because that we don't grab those promises and say, no, I have them, and release them by faith in our through our mouth, they actually sit there. See, we have them, but because we don't know them and we don't confess them, they sit there and they waste away. They don't really go anywhere, but they waste away. But this is one of the other things I want to see before we get started is most of the time we don't have them because we don't confess them. We don't confess them. And this is what we'll do. We'll spend more time confessing the issue that's at hand than we do confessing the promise that fixes the issue. This is what we'll do. I'm going to read this note, because what I'm talking about right now is a spiritual law that enacts rights. And there's times that we have rights that have set us free from the issue that we're facing. But what we're doing, and I'm going to say this, and it's going to kind of be a shock to your flesh real quick, but sometimes we commit the same treason that Adam and Eve did in the garden. And because what we do, we then give Satan authority over us, and we do what we make, really and truly, we make what Jesus did on the cross null and void in our life, because we go ahead and give him the authority right back over our life. And he doesn't have any authority except what we give him. Now, I want you to see this. There's the spiritual law of confession. We know this. This is a spiritual law. It has anything that we speak is going to begin to operate and move, and it is released into our life. So it's Mark 11, 22 through 24. And here we talk, we'll read it real quick. How about that? We'll start. It's Mark 11, verse 22. And we'll go through verse 24. I'm not going to take the time to get into the depths of this, because you could preach for years on Mark 11, 22 through 24. But there is a spiritual law that's in operation here. And if we will get that into our spirit, that whatever we confess and believe, we have. Now, there's the positive side, but there's also the negative side. The power of life and death is in the tongue. So there is the positive side, and the positive will always outweigh the negative if we're confessing the positive, if we're confessing the promises, if we are confessing our rights. So I want you to see this. Mark 11, 22 through 24. And Jesus answers, saying to them, have faith in God. Now, if you look at the original translation, it actually says have the God kind of faith. Then it says in verse 23, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up, cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted for him. Now, notice this. It says that whosoever will believe in his heart, confess with his mouth, whatever he's believing will not be granted. Or whatever he's believing will be granted. So what you see is, it's either you can believe in the promises of God for your life and confess them, or you get them, or you can believe in the defeat in your life, confess defeat, and you will receive defeat. So this is a spiritual law of confession that we're talking about here. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall or will be granted to you. Now, again, I'm going to say it one more time, because repetition is the motor of learning. This is spiritual law. I like to use this terminology. These are the nuts and the bolts of the confessing. When we speak it, it goes into work. It goes into action. Whatever the case may be, it is in operation. Now, I want you to see this. I had a couple of notes that I was asking the Lord earlier. I was like, you want me to read them, or you just want me to flow with you? And he just kept coming, read them, because there's some things in here that he wants to point out, I believe, as we're going. So this spiritual law, this spiritual principle is this. We should not be glorifying bad days. If we spend more time confessing this, man, I am having a bad day. Man, I am really just under today. You literally, and I'm not saying this maliciously, but in that moment when we do that, what we're literally doing, we're giving a bad day the authority, the power, and the backing it needs to make your day bad. You are confessing sickness. So this is what we'll do. We'll go, man, whoo, I'm so sick. Well, Pastor, I have feelings in my, Pastor Zach, I have feelings in my body. Your feelings in your body is not who you are. So one of the things you can say, Father, right now my body's trying to have symptoms, but you know what? I am a spirit that has a soul that walks around in a body, and according to the spirit of life and death in Romans 8, verses 1 through 11, the spirit that's in me gives life to my mortal body. So right now, body, you begin to operate according to the perfection of my spirit. You see the difference in that? I didn't confess that I was sick. My confession was I had a fact that my body was down, but my body is not who I am. So when the minute that I say I am, you're talking from the position of your spirit, not the position of your body. And when we begin to take on the identity of the inheritance of the enemy, the inheritance of a worldly man, which is death, destruction, sickness, poverty, disease, you begin to confess that, and that becomes into operation. Now, watch this. We as Christians shouldn't be glorifying bad days. It actually shouldn't even be a topic of conversation. I shouldn't go, William's right here to my left. I shouldn't go up to William and be like, William, you know, man, I'm having a really bad day. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. So now watch this. Faith comes through hearing. So watch this. Now I am imparting into William bad days, because I am speaking that into existence, and he goes, oh man, you are having a bad day. Man, I'm sorry you're having a bad day. I hope I don't get that bad day. So now all of a sudden it's the thinking, instead of confessing, I have victory in Christ, which is one of your rights, that you walk in a perpetual state of victory, is now there's a chance that you may not have victory. And it all boils around this confession. And you're sitting there going, well, I thought today's topic was, where do your rights come from? We're getting into that. I wanted to show you why don't you have rights, or why do you have rights and they're not manifesting. And then I'm going to show you how we get into the rights and how we get those in manifestation. This is what I believe the Lord wanted me to point out about wrong confession. We speak wrong confessions with ease. It's easy to speak bad confessions, because we have become so familiar with those bad confessions that they just roll off the tongue, and they're so easy because we're believing what we're seeing, we're believing what we're feeling. And so literally we're putting faith on what we see and faith on what we feel, but not faith on the reality of who and what God is. There's a question there. We'll answer. I'll get to those in just a little bit. So just give me a minute on there. We will answer your questions here in a little bit. So a wrong confession is a confession of defeat. I'm going to say that again. A wrong confession is a confession of defeat. I'm going to change that for you real quick. A wrong confession is the denial of your rights. I'm going to say that one more time. A wrong confession is a denial of your rights. So we'll use the bad day example. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says that God only leads to victory in Christ. So I'm in victory and I'm walking in victory and I stay in a perpetual state of victory when I'm in Christ. So that's a right that I have by being in Christ Jesus. So the minute that I confess a bad day, I am saying this, I am denying my right to victory. I am denying my right to victory. I'm promised victory, that I have victory and I'm walking in victory, and I choose bad and I choose to have a bad day, I choose the condition of the day over what the promise of the word is, I am literally saying I deny those rights that I have as an heir of God, as a child of God, as a citizen, as an owner of heaven. I deny those rights. Those rights cannot come upon me. Now, let's keep going. And this is what happens. A wrong confession is a confession of defeat, a confession of failure, and it's also this, it's a confession of supremacy of Satan's kingdom over God's kingdom. A wrong confession is saying, well, this is what we're saying, and I want you to see this, is denying the rights to the point where we're confessing Satan's supremacy over the kingdom of God's supremacy. There is no supremacy of the kingdom of Satan. There is no supremacy of the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world's been defeated. Colossians 2 tells us that he is a defeated foe. So when I confess bad days, or I confess anxiety, oh, I have anxiety. Well, we know for a fact that anxiety didn't come from God, because the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So what I do is when I confess that I have fear, I have anxiety, I have depression, I'm confessing and really backing Satan's supremacy over the kingdom of heaven. And that is, it's the denial of our rights. It's the denial of what Jesus established when he died and rose again on the third day, what he completed on the cross. Let's go into a little bit deeper. There are some different wrong confessions that we have. We talk about what a time that we are having with the devil. We'll go, oh, man, the devil, he's just wearing me out. Oh, he's wearing me out. Whoo, he's wearing me out. And then we'll say, oh, the devil's attacking me today. I woke up this morning, and, you know, I stubbed my toe. It's just going to be a bad day because I stubbed my toe. So now we're operating by what happened when we first woke up. So there's 86,400 seconds in a day. And in that 1 second, you stub your toe. The 86,399 seconds now is all determined by a 1 second problem. See how fast that turned when you look at it in that perspective. We'll do this. We'll say, what a battle we are having today. Oh, look at what we're going through today. And we are confessing how good or how big the problem is. We'll go, how the devil's keeping me down. Man, that devil is causing me to be sick. Man, the devil, he's keeping me in bondage. And this is what we do. If this is our talk, if this is what's coming out of our mouth, because the Bible says this, out of the abundance of your heart, out of the abundance of your spirit, your mouth speaks. So now, where is faith? The Bible says faith is in your heart and it's in your mouth. So if it's in my heart and I'm confessing bad from my heart, I'm believing it. So the spiritual law of confession goes into work. And now all of a sudden I'm confessing junk and I'm confessing defeat. I'm confessing the destruction. I'm confessing all these bad things. And then what I'm really saying is Satan's kingdom is better than what God's word said it is. Oh, that's a good one. Now, this is what we do when we do that. We're literally becoming and doing, when we give the authority of Satan's kingdom over our life, or we give authority to Satan's kingdom over our life, we are literally doing exactly what all of us get aggravated in Adam and Eve for doing. We got mad at Adam and Eve for not believing the word of God. They had everything that they needed. God is not withholding any good thing to those who walk uprightly. Psalms 84:11, that's what it says. For those who walk uprightly, God is not withholding anything from those who walk uprightly. Was Adam and Eve not created in perfect righteousness? They had to be created in perfect righteousness because they were created in the image and the likeness of God, and He is perfect righteousness. So God was not withholding anything on there. Only thing Eve had to do, this is the only thing Eve had to do. Satan or snake, be quiet. You has never had the authority to talk. That is not a right that you have. I've been made the righteousness of God. And if any wisdom, if I need to be exactly like God, if he's not withholding anything from me. So if I need what you're saying that I need, the only thing I got to do is go to the Father and say, Father, this snake is over here talking. I told him to hush. He's trying to make me believe that you're holding or you're holding out on me. But according to your word, it's not, because I'm in perfect intimacy with you and you want to give me everything. What we do in that moment, we say, oh, wait a minute, Satan, there's some truth to what you're saying. And then that truth begins to be able to get into your head and it begins to change all of your thoughts. That's why wrong confessions, that's a lot of the times why all of these promises, all of these rights that we have, they're not in manifestation. Even, I tell you this morning, today, the Lord corrected me this morning. I got up and there was a message that was sent out from Brother Hagin in the area of finances, and I'm going to be glass house. In the area of finances, and I begin to listen to it, and the Lord began to correct me. He goes, hey, son, you haven't been doing this. 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 And I went, Lord, right now, I repent. I've been confessing what I see. I've not been confessing the reality of who you are. And I was allowing that area to be held down by Satan because I was giving him the authority to, not because he actually has it, but because I was allowing him to do that. And when I heard that message this morning, it just hit me in my spirit. And I was like, oh, no, God's not withholding from me. I'm not being withheld. There's nothing being withheld from me because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. So now, what are some of the reasons that we have these bad confessions? Or what are some of the reasons we confess these things this way? This is what the Lord showed me. We don't know what the word says about us. We don't know our rights. Phew, we don't know our rights. We think we do, but we really don't know our rights. There's sometimes we read the Bible and we'll go, oh, okay, I know that. But you know it, but there's no application. There's no confession of it in spirit. Now, the other one is this. We don't believe what the word says about us. And I'm going to kind of put a little caveat on that. We don't think we're worthy of what the word says about us. You hear that? We don't know what the word says about us. And we don't know that, and we don't believe, we don't know what the word says about us, that's for us, that's to us. We don't believe what the word says about us, or we believe it, we just don't think we're worthy to receive it. We think others are more worthy to receive it than we are worthy to receive it. Like victory. There are some people that do not believe that they are worthy of the victory of Christ. Think about that for a minute. I'm not worthy. This is the biggest one that I've always heard. I've heard this multiple different times. Pastor Zach, I hear you. I know the Lord loves me and I believe that. But, you know, I just did so much bad in my life. I know He just wants me to pay for all the stuff that I did by sickness and disease and just being miserable. I've had somebody actually tell me that. And I show them word for word and word. They say, yes, that's good for people like you because you're a pastor. You're a minister of the gospel. But for me, for regular people, that's not that. And that was their confession. And no matter how much that I showed scripture after scripture after scripture, they wasn't getting past that point where I'm not worthy. Because they, in the mindset, it goes into the next one. Another reason why we don't speak or we make bad, or we, the other reason why we don't make bad, why we make bad confessions is, or why we don't confess the rights that we have is because we think it's prideful. We think it's prideful to say that we're rich. Like, well, if you're talking about rich, you're loving money. No, I'm just confessing 2 Corinthians 8:9. Jesus said that in 2 Corinthians 8:9, or not Jesus, Paul did, by writing of the Holy Ghost, by writing of the Holy Spirit. Paul says that by Jesus' poverty, that Jesus became poor so that through His poverty we might become rich. So I can confess through what Jesus did on the cross, I'm rich. I can confess, according to 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8, that He wants me well supplied in abundance for every good work. I shouldn't be having to trying to figure out how I'm going to make ends meet. I shouldn't be having to try to figure out how I'm going to have victory. I just know, and as I'm abiding in the Word, I'm listening and I'm abiding in God, listening to His Word and obeying His command, that I know that when I step and I hear that word from the Lord, it's not my responsibility for the outcome. It's God's responsibility for the outcome. It's my responsibility to be obedient. So what I do is I abide in Him. Hey, son, I want you to sow this seed of $25. Okay, Lord, I'm going to take that seed right now. I'm going to put it on there. I'm going to name my seed for finances, and I'm going to seal it, and I'm going to go plant it in faith, and I'm in obedience. I know that when this seed, that then this envelope that's in my hand, when it hits that offering bucket, it is immediately planted, and it's going to work. Because of my power, I'm not responsible for the outcome. In fact, if I'm responsible for the outcome, the only outcome that it's going to be is destruction. It's not going to be true fruit. It's going to be what fruit I can produce on my own, and it's not eternal fruit. It's temporary fruit. It may feel good for a season, or it may look good for a season, but because I don't pull on that grace, there's nothing to be, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, that it's the grace that he gets to me that abundantly supplies it. So if I don't sow it in faith, grace can't get to it. And I got to know that I have a right to this, and I have faith on it because God said do it. Now, the world has, a lot of times too, people think it's prideful because there's been wrong teaching in the world. There's been people that we've heard us talk about it on here before, is that it's been taught that you're not supposed to be in prosperity. It's been taught that sickness is of God. It's been taught that healing has ended. It's been taught, it's been taught in some circles that there is no more apostles and prophets. There's even some talks in some places that pastors shouldn't be over churches. Like, they've taken it and they've breaking it down in a worldly teaching. And it's made these confessions and these rites of God seem, one, that you're not allowed to have it, and if you'd even think that you're allowed to have it, how prideful are you for you to have what God said you could have? That's the thought between the world. But really, you got to look at the spirit that's behind that. The spirit that's behind that is the spirit of the enemy to keep you, to keep me, to keep those who think that way under his authority, even though he has none. Now, there's so many Christians, this is one of the things that I found in my time in ministry, is Christians will hold on to a wrong confession because logically it seems right, because it can make sense of why we're going through what we're going through in our head. We'll go, well, obviously, and you know, we'll take the doctrine of God's absolute sovereignty. Well, God's in control of everything, and since God's in control of everything, then I have to be sick, because through this, God's going to teach me a lesson. The Lord set me free from that when He told me this. He said a lot of times He set me free from that thinking of that He calls a sickness. He goes, when they finally get healed or they get whatever from the sickness, and the Lord says, people have confused me rescuing them with me teaching them a lesson. So what will happen is people will get sick based upon a confession. God comes in and rescues them, and they take that situation that took place as God intended for them to go through so they could get to that point where He could teach them. God doesn't need sickness and disease to teach you a lesson. Did he need sickness and disease to teach Adam and Eve how to rule the world? No. As part of who He is, He imparted all of that. It's the spirit that's behind that goes, no, I want to keep you bound. I want to keep you trapped. I don't want you confessing these things because the enemy knows our rights. The enemy knows our rights more than we know our rights. And that's a problem. When the enemy knows our rights more than we do or believe those rights more than we do, because he knows Jesus. He's very, we know this even in the seven sons of Sceva. When the sons of Sceva tried to cast out that demon, they looked at him and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? So the demons are very familiar with Jesus. We know this too. When Jesus went to cast a demon out, he said, Son of man, have you come to tempt us before the appointed time? So they recognized who he was. So they begin to speak, oh, okay, I recognize that anointing. When you really start understanding your rights, you can walk into a room and somebody, a demon that's in them, they'll start recognizing the anointing that you're walking in. I've watched it take place. They will get, that demon, that spirit inside of them will get so uncomfortable that they can't be in there because they recognize the spirit that you're walking in. And that enemy, they do not want. The enemy does not want you to know your rights. They don't want you to start claiming your inheritance. So they want us to hold to these wrong confessions. They want us to hold to these wrong confessions, these wrong beliefs. And if they do that, if we do that, the enemy knows that they'll never claim their inheritance, and they'll twist it. They'll go, no, it's prideful for you to believe that God wants you to prosper. It's prideful for you to believe that God doesn't want you to be sick. You know, don't you know that he's in control of everything? And so there's these little warped ideologies that the enemy will do just to twist it a little bit. And it sounds so like, oh, in your head that you like, that's got to be the gospel. That's got to be the truth. I'm going to roll with it. But that is contrary to the word. We've got to start confessing what's rightfully ours. We've got to. In the day and age that we are in, we cannot afford this, to not know our rights any longer. We cannot afford not to know this. This has got to be the foundation in which we see, the foundation in which decisions are made. This has got to be the foundation for our entirety of our existence. This right here, it's got to be who we are and what we are. We cannot afford any longer not to know who we are in Christ. We cannot afford any longer not to know who we are, what we are in Christ, in Jesus, in him, in whom he is. We've got to know those, because everything that in him and in whom, scriptures in the Bible, that's who you are and that's your rights. Anything that talks about the church, it's your right. That's who you are. You are part of the church. That is your rights. You have them. They're in operation in you. Just let that faith build up in you and you begin to confess, no, I am the healed of the Lord. No, I am rich according to Christ. No, I am victory. I have victory in Christ Jesus. I'm walking in victory. I don't have fear. I have love. I have sound mind. I have power flowing in me because it's in Christ and it's in me. 1 John 4:17. When we read that, it says, as Jesus is in this world, as Jesus is, so am I in this world. As Jesus is, not who Jesus was as a man, as who Jesus is now. Go read Revelations 1 and find out who Jesus is now. That's who we are. That's who lives in us. That's part of your rights. That's what went in Acts 1 and in Acts 1:8 and in Acts 2 verses 1 through 4. When the Holy Ghost came on us, that's what we begin to operate as who Jesus is. Amen. Now, there's some places that we're going to skip to a little bit. This is a series that I did in the past. And it just kind of came bubbling up in me this morning. And I was like, man, where's this coming from? And it was stirred up yesterday when Deb started teaching and she started ministering on my rights and my privileges. And I have these rights. And now because I have those rights, it's my privilege to walk in them. And not only is my privilege to walk, it's my right to walk in them, it's my privilege to minister them to others. So today I get a privilege to minister your rights and deliver your rights to you, to stir your faith into action. To stir your faith saying, no, I am no longer going to be what I was. I'm stepping into what is, and what is who Jesus is. That's how I'm operating from this moment forward. This is what I want to see and why confession is so important. Go to Hebrews chapter 4 and go to verse 1. This is a really big, Brother Brian has preached on rest for a while since I've been under him. For the last couple of years, and just he when he's really taught about rest, it's really shifted and changed. And he actually showed me this in scripture when he was ministering one time, and I was like, man, I've never really seen it that way. Watch this. Therefore, let us fear, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. Now we'll look at verse 2. For indeed,
we have good news preached to us. For indeed, we have good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them. There is, I don't know how many Christians in this world. And some churches every Wednesday, every Sunday, we look on our broadcast. At this church, we minister 6 days a week. We have 5 live broadcasts. I have a Sunday morning service that we broadcast. And then we have Sunday night that we broadcast. So really 7 messages is being released a day. 7 at minimum. And I'm not counting youth service. I'm not counting counseling sessions from our leaders and our life group leaders. I'm just talking about this church, right? There's words that's been profited, and the words that's being preached is to get into your spirit so that you can have a profit from what's being put in you. So you can have a benefit. But look what it says. But the word they heard, they did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. So it was not united in faith. They didn't say, okay, that's it. And that's mine. I have it. They didn't believe it. So they never confessed it. Now look at verse 3. For we who have believed enter rest just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. So when have you really had the rest of God? From before the world was even created. And the enemy knew that if I can get them out of rest, if I can get them out of interdependency with God, if I can get them to start confessing the things that are opposite of who God is, then all of a sudden, they don't have all these promises, and they don't have access. The flow of the power of God, the flow of God into them is cut off. Now, watch this. I want you to go back one chapter to Hebrews 3. And we're going to read verses 12 through 14. Take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you, excuse me, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. You see that? Falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become, now pay attention to this verse right here, for we maybe will one day become. Nope, that's not what it says. For we have become partakers, partners of Christ. Watch this part. If we hold fast the beginning of our assurances firm until the end. Another translation will say this. If we hold fast to the confession of what we have received in Christ, we are partners with Christ Jesus. So everything that was on Christ is on me. Everything that he has, I have. Everything that he was given, I have given. All the rights that Jesus walked in. Never once you'll see Jesus being sick. So what does that mean? I don't have to be sick. Yeah, never once do you see Jesus wondering if he's going to make ends meet. No, it just God. I mean, he didn't do anything the Lord told him to. So if there was ever any lack, God said, hey, we got to pay taxes, go fish. And as you throw it in there, there's going to be a coin in the fish's mouth. Now, last time I checked, the fish doesn't make coins. But supernaturally, the supply was given through the leading of the Lord to go throw a fishing pole out, and all of a sudden they pull in a catch and it's got fish in it. You look in the means of prosperity for Peter. Peter was a business owner. There was 4 business partners there, and there was such a catch that Peter stopped fishing for 3.5 years. Well, actually longer than that. He went back to it after the Lord for a second, but I want you to see that there was such provision in that moment because he changed how he thought. He changed that he had a word from the Lord that you throw your net on that right side and there's going to be such an abundant catch come out. Nets begin to break in that. Now, let's keep going. Now, I want you to this. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Now, what I'm showing you right now is what I really want you to see is these are how you get your rights. First, I want you to confess this with me. I am a partaker of Christ.
I want you to say that with me. I am a partner with Christ. You can go ahead and put it in the comments. I am a partner with Christ. I am a partner with Christ. Get that into your spirit. Go throughout the rest of the day. I am a partner with Christ. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Look at what it says here. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Did you see what it just said there? Therefore, imitate God. Imitate God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Does God ever speak defeat? Does God in Scripture everywhere speak sickness? Anyway, he never speaks sickness in Scripture. He says, if you do this, sickness will come upon you. He says, but if you do these things, when sickness tries to come to you, you can even say this, when sickness tries, it's going to flee seven ways. Because anything that comes to try to befall you is going to come up against him, and it's going to be in defeat, and it's going to run. But look what it says. Be imitators of God. Imitate God as, watch this, beloved children. As beloved children. So one of your rights, or how you access your rights, is this. Know that I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Because in order now, because earlier in the broadcast, I told you to make this confession that I am an heir. Why did I say make that confession? Because the Lord had already showed me later, we're going to be making this confession. I'm a partner with Christ. What is the confession we did? Our number one, the one confession that we make through. I have my full inheritance in Christ. I am an heir. In order for me to be an heir, I've got to be a child. I have got, so we'll use a worldly example. I can't walk into William's household and get William's inheritance because that's not mine. His mother and his father is not going to give me his inheritance because I'm not in that line of receiving. I'm outside of that line of receiving. So there's got to be a change from being in this line of worldly receiving and this line of receiving from heaven. The shift that happens is, when I receive Christ Jesus as Lord, I am born again. The word born again literally means anathen. It means reborn of God. That it literally means that I become the spitting image of the Father. That his DNA strands have been woven into my DNA strands. I am no longer what I used to be, because according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, that the old man is dead. Behold, there's a new man, a brand new man, made or created in the righteousness of God in Christ. Ephesians 2:10 talks about this as well. I'll read Ephesians 2:10. It's right here. It says, for we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. There's good works prepared for you when you are recreated in the image of God, taking on sonship. And now watch this. When I become a son, I can walk like God. I can talk like God. I can believe God. I literally become imitators of him. And because I am a beloved child, now I'm in the line to get rights. I get rights of God. I get the same rights that Jesus had as a child of God. It is the same rights that you and I have as a child of God. Now, we're going to go a little bit further. We're going to do another scripture. Go to, let's do this. Go to Romans chapter 8. And go to verse 14. Look at what it says here. The reason why I'm going to three scriptures is because the word says this, that all testimony is found, the truth is found on the testimony of two or three scriptures. So let's see what Romans 8:14 says.
For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we see a doctrine here that's starting to form that I can be a son of God. So we got to have revelation that we are sons of God so we can be in that line of receiving. So we're not illegitimate children. We see that scripture talking about in Hebrews 12. Where God, he talks about that he disciplined those he loves, but he won't discipline somebody that's not his son or his daughter. He only disciplines his son and his daughter. They have to be legitimate children. So we have to be legitimate children of God. Now let's keep going. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. So I have this special bond that I leave from one existence, plane of existence, and I'm translated into the line of receiving as God's son. You, as ladies, as God's daughter. You're not something that possibly could maybe one day. No, the minute that you receive Christ Jesus, you are now a son and daughter of the living God. And because of that, you have rights. Look at what it says in verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So look at this. How do you know if you're a child of God? You'll know in your spirit. So if you have, here in a minute, we're going to fix this issue because some may be on or may be listening and in times to come, they're like, I don't know if I'm a partner with God. Well, we can fix that. That's a really easy fix. God made it so easy to get into this inheritance line that only thing we got to do is believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we become into the inheritance line. We become partakers. We become sons and daughters of the living God. Look at verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, verse 17 is huge. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So watch this. Fellow heirs with care. Now I'm going to show you this because this is going to kind of mess with some people. We're not under Christ. We're equal in the inheritance line with Christ. Now, am I saying that we have authority over Jesus? That's not what I'm saying. But the word here says, if we are children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we also may be glorified with him. Look what it says, that we are fellow heirs. It didn't say, oh, that you have to befall yourself and come grovel at his feet. No, I have the same inheritance. I have the same thing that Jesus received. I have, according to Romans 8:17. I'm a child of God. Therefore, since I'm a child of God, I'm an heir of God. I'm a fellow heir with Christ, and I have all that Christ have. And watch this. I don't only have all what Jesus has, I have all that God has. John 16 declares that because the Bible says that nothing that Jesus has, he has on his own accord, but everything he has belongs to the Father. Then he said the Holy Spirit is going to take what is his and disclose it to you and I. So look what he's saying. All the rights of God are your rights. All the rights of Jesus are your rights. All the rights of the Holy Ghost are your rights. All the rights that Brother Brian has, is your rights. All the rights that I have as a child of God is your rights. There's nobody that has different rights. Their experience of those rights may be different, but their access to those rights, everybody has because we have it by faith in Christ. Now, I want to show you this one. Go to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Are you getting something out of this today? If you're getting something out of it, put a thumbs up in the comments as we're going over. I know this is a lot, but we'll see how the Lord leads for the rest of the week. But as yesterday, it was just hitting me in my spirit and it was bubbling up in me. And I was like, man, I woke up this morning talking about rights. I was like, Lord, I have the right through you that I have life in my body this morning. Something as simple as that. I have rights in you that I have life in my body, that death couldn't befall me. Because death, even when we die in the natural, we don't really die. We're just separated from time. That's all that we are. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. So watch this. The first step into receiving your rights is knowing that God loves you.
not loves you based upon what you can do. Because it didn't say anything on there based on your capability to look good, act good, do anything. No. Look what it says. See how great a love that the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. So it's by His love, right, that I get to be a child of God, that I get to receive this inheritance. It's nothing that we do. It's what He has done in Christ. It's not my capability of doing it because I can't. My only skin in the game is I receive Jesus as Lord. That's it. The only thing that I'm responsible for is receiving Christ as Lord. Now, see how great a love that the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And now watch this. And such we are. Do you see what that says? I am a child of God. I am one. Because of His love and me receiving Him, I am a child of God. I'm not going to become one. I have become one. Verse 2. Excuse me, still going on in that one. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. You read that again. Beloved, now. I'm not going to be when I get to heaven. I'm not going to be tomorrow. Right now, I am a child of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. Now, I understand this part of the scripture can be a little bit confusing because it says we're not like Him. But He's talking here. He's talking about your flesh, man, because I love the way Brother Tracy explained this. It was a couple of years ago. He goes, there's just enough glory. If you was to get one more drop of glory in you, you would cease to exist in the physical world because you would shift and change just like that. Because he was kind of explaining it in this way, that when the rapture comes, the fullness of that will come and our spirit man will become so powerful, it becomes the fullness of what it actually really is, that this physical body will cease to exist because it won't exist anymore because of the DNA, the nature of the sin nature that's in it. Now, what I want you to see is this. Two times, and within these scriptures, it's predicated two things to get your inheritance. God's love, and receive Him as dad. God's love, revelation of God's love. Say this with me. I am loved by God. I am loved by God. Now say this with me. I am a child of God. I am loved and I am a child. I'm not going to one day be loved. I am loved now. And now I am a child. Now I am a child. I'm not going to be a child. I am a child. This is the confession that we need to hold on to. Because this is when we talked about when Dale was yesterday was talking about you have rights. Why do you have rights? Where do your rights come from? I'm about to show you in Scripture where it comes from. Your rights come from Christ. But specifically, His blood. His blood, when it was shed, was poured on you and I when we died on the cross with Him. And His blood gave us the redemption needed to be children of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll do verse 12 and 15. Amen. I'm going to do verse 11 just because it starts with an and sometimes that confuses people. In case you didn't hear me being one of them. All right, verse 11. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. Verse 12. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through His own blood, He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh. Now let's look at verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Verse 15. For this reason,
He is the mediator of a new covenant. So that since a death has taken place, now watch this, for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So everything hinges on these three things. Knowing that God loves me. Where do my rights come from? It comes from God's love. It comes from me being a child and me receiving Christ. And I become a child by receiving Christ Jesus' work on the cross, by receiving his blood, by receiving him as Lord and as Savior. Your rights is not predicated on you. It's not predicated on me. It's not even predicated on Brother Brian's covering over you, though you need to pull on that covering. But that what that really comes from is what Jesus did on the cross. That's what Jesus died on the cross so you can have, look what it says, an eternal. And that's an inheritance that doesn't end. You can even say it this way, that I have an inheritance that never runs dry. I have grace from God that never runs dry. I have healing from the Lord that never runs dry. I have an inheritance, ongoing, perpetual state of victory. My inheritance of victory does not end. My inheritance of healing does not end. My inheritance of prosperity and finances and peace and joy in the fullness of God does not end. I have an inheritance. I have rights that belong to me because I have received the love of God, I have received the blood of Christ and what he did on the cross, and I have made him Lord, and because of that, I am now am a child of God. Amen. Whew, glory, that was a lot. But God is good. And in your spirit, in you right now, you'd be like, oh my goodness, that was a lot, that was a lot, that was a lot. But I want you to see this. It's a lot here. But your spirit man is like, yes, 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 I have it. And it's getting down into you, whether you understand it here. It doesn't say anything about understanding here. Faith is in your heart and it's in your mouth. So these confessions that we've been making today, if you didn't write them down, go back, write them down. And as you write them down for the rest of the day, I am a child of God. I have the love of God. I want you to meditate on these things. Confess these things because we have this ability to confess. And the minute we start confessing, so I have this mint over here, right? I confess that mint is mine. And by faith, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to take that mint and I can have that mint. Because why? It's on the shelf. It's been for me the entire time. This tea was made for me the entire time. But if I never put the demand on it by that tea is mine and then I reach out and take it, it'll sit there and it will never be consumed. It'll never be experienced. But you have that. You have the ability to experience that right now in the name of Jesus. You have it. So this is what we're going to do. Some of you may be going right now, like, I know we have a question. And we'll answer that question here in just a second. I don't know if I did answer it, but if we can get that question ready. But what we're going to do is we're going to make sure everybody ever watching this broadcast that you step into the inheritance line, that you get to have the inheritance, because everything that I've been talking about is you get if you're an heir of God, co-heir with Christ. We don't get if we're an heir of Satan. So watch this. Watch this real quick. The inheritance of Satan is this. It's death, disease, sickness, poverty, unholiness, unrighteousness, unworthiness, fear, destruction, depression, anxiety, cancer, helplessness, lack, stress, relational problems, defeat. All of that is the inheritance of Satan. Oh, but the inheritance of God is life and life more abundantly. It is heaven. There's 130 scriptures that I know we have plans in the future to go through some of those and just talk about the in him, in whom scriptures and discuss our rights and get into the details of who or what our rights is in Christ. So right now, that's what we're going to do. Maybe you just prayed this prayer yesterday. That's okay. We're going to pray it again today. And I want you, we're about to make a fresh commitment to the Lord, a fresh commitment. Maybe we've done something and we've broken fellowship. and the flow of these promises, the flow of these inheritance. Maybe even this morning we made a bad confession. We're about to change our confession right now. We're going to pray to receive Christ Jesus, and we're going to pray and we're going to release an anointing to any confession that's been made that's bad. We're going to destroy that confession right now by the anointing. So repeat this with me at first. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for what you did on the cross. I know that through your love for me, you gave Christ Jesus. And because you gave Christ Jesus and he shed his blood for me, I have been redeemed. I now, from this day forward, confess from my heart, Jesus is Lord. He is my Savior. I yield my life over to you. I submit my life to you, Lord God. I thank you that I have new life in you today. And I receive the adoption as sons and daughters. And I am now a child of the Most High God. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Now, if you made a bad confession, I just want you to stay. Maybe today you've made a bad confession. I just want you to stay in that mode of receiving. I had it hit me that I believe the Lord wants me to release an anointing. Father, right now, every bad confession that has come off the lips of anybody that ever watches this, we declare right now that none of those confessions come to pass. They are nullified now by the blood of Christ and by the anointing. They shall not come to pass. There is no bad days for us. There is no sickness and disease. There is no lack. There is no financial lack. There is no lack of joy. There is no lack of peace. We're not confessing bad days. And if any of those confessions have been made, right now we declare in the name of Jesus for them to cease and assist. You will not produce fruit. But the fruit that will be produced today is Proverbs 4:18. I am going higher and higher. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter and brighter as that into the noonday sun. That's a confession that we have today, and it's being released now. It's a day that is getting better. It's not going down, it's going up. If there's anybody that's been confessing, oh, I have sickness in my body. No, you don't. Sickness, leave now. Healing be. We are the healed of the Lord. We have it. 2 Peter 2:24 declares that Jesus on the cross, by his stripes, we were healed. So I was healed on the cross. I have it now. He's my healer. The children, the healing is the children's bread. I have it now. If anybody say, I don't have finances for this. Yes, you do. Stop looking at your bank account and say, Lord, I thank you according to your word that you supply all my needs and you have made me rich in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. I thank you that I have it. Thank you, Father. So we declare those confessions to be, and every negative confession, that it has been stopped. It is no longer in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.